It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello and welcome to episode 210 of The Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan and I will be your GM for tonight as we play Repossession Session 6. Now try saying that fast three times because I just have them. You haven't heard them because I edited them out. I'm Mordrigan and I will be your GM for tonight.
Hello, I'm Hardwick and I'm playing Clarissa Click.
I'm Archive and I'm playing Errol Oldstuff.
I am Bloodied, and I am playing Chester Philman.
I'm Loka, and I will be playing Dr. Wade Roberts.
Dr. Wade Roberts. Before we start, however, we've got a tea to review. And this tea is the tea that Sheba suggested.
What is it?
The chai masala tea. It is a big favourite of Sheba's. It is her most favouritest of teas. And I gotta admit, I quite like it.
I like it. It's very pleasant.
The flavour's odd towards the end of the cup, I will say.
I'm not sure if we overbrewed.
Possibly.
But we always do.
It's a bit heavy on the...
spice?
I don't know if it's the cinnamon
the dregs
or...
are... There's a whole bunch of stuff at the bottom of this, and it's...
Well, maybe you have a leaking bag.
Possible.
Did you have a leaking broily bag?
Daily greet.
Daily greet. It's another tea India tea. Chai masala comes in boxes of 40. I quite like it. I've had it before. It's quite pleasant. It's quite a. For a chai masala, it's actually quite light on the spice. I've certainly had them far more powerful than this.
I think it's got quite a nice spicing. Like, I like the cinnamony.
It's not too overbearing, at least initially. Like I said, the dregs are a bit much, but...
But you may have had a leaking groin.
Yeah.
But dregs being a bit much isn't entirely unusual, especially given our habit of overbrewing things.
Yeah. True, that's fair.
What do you think, Hardwick?
I like it. It does get a bit... strong towards the end, but yes.
So
drinkable.
Generally, it's a pleasant tea, but don't drink the very bottom.
Wow. Always a good suggestion.
Advice for life. Right. So could we have a quick and punchy recap?
We went in a cave. There were lots of very dead cultists. In various states of decomposition.
They were so dead.
In like a nice big giant pile. And then there was also a great big geometrically impossible pyramid of severed heads. And that was nice. And Chester Philman got to climb up it. And that was nice. And Mordrigan's description nearly managed to make me throw up in real life. That was not nice.
No, but I do consider it a mark of my skill as a GM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, do. Do, it was. But also, fuck you.
I deserved that.
Yeah. Got to the top and found out that it was pointless anyway, because whatever was there had gone.
Well, exactly pointless. You did see where the thing had gone.
Yeah, the blood trail, which turned out they'd taken the head of the Sedeca Simulacrum off the pile of severed heads and stuck it in a nook in the wall that was filled with garlic for some reason, and that for some reason being, oh, look, there's a shit ton of what we guess are feral vampires. And now they're trying to eat us. Run away. Which we did.
Slowly and losing men all the way.
Yes. But on the bright side, we didn't lose us, which was the important thing. Or the Major, or Dr. Trado. Yeah, we shot at them a lot, didn't really do very much. We threw a hand grenade at them, it didn't really do very much. We threw one of them in some boiling sulphurous water.
Which worked really well indeed.
And we went outside and then one of them got its arms burnt off by sunlight.
Yep.
Then the Major dynamited the cliff face.
Yep, because he was not having any more of that shit, thank you very much.
Then he gave us a lift back to the hotel. That was nice of him.
And offered to keep Mary, who is dangerously ill still.
Yeah.
She will be dangerously ill for many weeks, because you have to get over half of your hit points to get rid of the major wound, and at one hit point a week. So she's probably in hospital for like 90 weeks or something ridiculous.
I'm just leaving characters in hospitals all over Europe.
You are.
All over Europe.
You're leaving a trail.
There are trails of your discarded characters or their corpses.
Thanks. Yeah,
only one corpse.
Yeah. But to be perfectly honest, normally it's blooded.
Yeah, normally it's me in Cthulhu.
No. In Cthulhu, I seem to rival you. Every other game it's you. In Cthulhu...
We switch off. Okay, but yeah, and we've got the Zedefkar Simulacrum now.
And you all feel really ill.
Yeah.
Unless you're touching it, and stroking it, and fondling it, and then all your pain goes away.
How do I feel?
Errol?
Yeah.
A bit overwhelmed?
Oh, I've not touched any of it.
Like you're out of your depth. Like you need to write some emo poetry, perhaps.
I can do that.
So, anyway, right, we have reached the end of an important chapter, so you may all roll your ticks.
Woo-hoo!
Once the people here have rolled their ticks, Dr. Roberts, you can start calling out your ticks, but give them a moment, it's going to take a little while. But do tell us whether you
get... How does this work?
It's kind of like rolling for luck. You roll and try and fail your skill, and then add d10 to it if you do. But for the skills that you have ticked, because you've used them successfully during the game. This will, incidentally, people, probably be the last time you do this in this entire campaign.
Whoa!
I've not got many to roll here, depressingly.
I've got two.
Yeah, but you're playing Errol, who is entirely new as of 2 days ago.
Well, yes, there is that.
Incidentally, if you do end up playing Sadie by the end of this, you know, if Errol should die or something, you will get to roll her ticks.
Oh, that's nice.
You all have also completed the Zedefkar Simulacrum!
Yay, I think.
You gain 1d4 for recovering the head and 1d4 for having everything. So I will roll these as I've got 1d4 in front of me. Archive, you gain 5. Not that I think Errol's lost any.
Is this sanity or what?
Yes, sanity.
Okay, fine.
Clarissa, you gain 6.
Ooh.
Chester Philman, you gain 5.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Wade Roberts gains 3. 3 and 3 alone, that's it.
How do you go above your starting
sanity?
So that's 7. How much did I gain?
You gained 5.
Okay.
Dr. Roberts is on 72 sanity.
I'm on 55.
Fucking hell.
Chester, on the other hand, is on 26 now.
Clarissa has 70.
Which, considering she has been batshit crazy for most of this campaign, is fairly impressive.
And the only skill I leveled up is my handgun skill.
That's a good
Doctor
one.
Jesus protects. Well, he used to. Then he threw him in a pit. Get in the pit.
My fighting broad up, and my psychology is now up to 19.
Nice. Oh, did anybody get a skill over 80?
My health's 81.
No. Did you level it up to over 80?
Yes.
Oh, in which case you gain 4 more sanity.
Woo.
As you have mastered the occult arts.
Yeah, it was only 75 a minute ago.
Wow, that's quite a lot that went up then.
I love I get saner for getting more occult.
Yeah. Well, you get saner for mastering a skill, basically. So, You have returned to your hotel. You sleep the rest of that day away. As you know that the Orient Express departs at 7:30 in the evening. You wake about 4:30, have what is effectively tea, but is in effect your breakfast. The horrendous itching in the socket of her eye has finally gone away for Selena, but she does feel exceedingly drained by the whole affair. And, you've got maybe an hour and a half before you get on to the Orient Express for, well, certainly, hopefully, the last time with the Sedefkar Simulacrum, because then you'll be in Constantinople, the place where you've been told you can finally be rid of it. So what are you doing? Do you want to do anything before you go to the train, or...?
It's Tuesday the 27th today, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but we haven't updated the board.
Perfect.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. But yes. I believe you leave 7:30 tonight, and you should get to Constantinople at 12:30, lunchtime tomorrow.
Mm. Mm.
Do you want to do anything before you get on the train? Or can we just spin it on to you're on the train?
I think we have anything else particularly want to be doing here. Okay. Like I'm not getting murdered.
I think we mostly just want to evacuate.
Okay. Yes.
So you don't have to pay for your hotel. Because the guy is still like, I am so sorry, I don't understand what happened. But yes, I'm very glad you are safely leaving. Emphasis on the leaving. You notice that as you're leaving, the two big burly guys he's hired to stand at the door are also like getting paid off and thanked, and they're wandering off down the street towards the pub. You take a taxi to the train station. The Orient Express pulls in. It takes a few minutes to get you safely ensconced in your rooms. Obviously, you have the same palaver as you always have, which is, oh no, I don't want to put this giant chest into the fourgon. I want it in my room with me. But, sir, this will be really uncomfortable for you. I don't care. It's got... important things. Important things. So it's gone. So the train, we've actually finally put the whole train up on the board because we've been using the much larger floor plans. And it turns out you can't actually get all of the floor plans on there. And I don't have a salon car, so we never have the full map up. But as we've come to the last night, I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm putting the whole thing up. So you are in the second first class sleeping car.
Ooh.
Because the other three sleeping cars are the second class sleeping cars.
Ooh. Yeah.
Not that there's really that much difference. The going from front to back, Dr. Roberts is in a berth on his own with the giant crate full of Mythos goodies.
Not really then, alone, though, is it?
Well, no. You're there with a potentially evil statue. Then there is Chesterfieldman and Errol. And then Selena and Clarissa. Unfortunately, Il Porcupino cannot be with us this evening, so Selena falls instantly asleep and cannot be woken. Snore, snore. Snore.
Here,
Clarissa. Snore.
Sorry? I'm just wondering, does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
Because you know Clarissa's sleeping with the murderer.
Yes, yeah, the murderer. But yeah, so you're sitting off at 7:30 at night. What are you doing? It's your last chance to have like some luxury on the train, maybe a nice meal.
Chester's getting drunk.
So do you head down to the salon car?
Yes, Chester goes to the salon car.
I don't have a stick. Dr.
Roberts will be going with him.
Okay, so the box is left in your room.
So quite frankly, after that horror,
yeah, I can't make sense.
I'd be happy to be getting a bit boozed up.
Okay. Can you move Chester and the doctor to the salon car, please? I've got these floor plans. I might as well use them.
Okay. I can see Errol possibly doing something similar.
Okay, so Errol also goes to the salon car. So you basically walk down to the end of your carriage, out through the door, and you're in the salon car. No, it goes straight into the end, yeah.
Well, it's not like he's likely to be allowed to drink at home.
No. And he brings his raven with him.
Of course.
Of course he does.
Clarissa, what about you?
With regard to the raven, it's probable that he's less of a lightweight than Errol.
She.
She's called Lenore. Clarissa, are you going? Are you staying? Are you just going, fuck this noise and going to bed?
I won't be going to the salon.
Okay, so you stay back in your room. Okay, then. So, you get to the salon car and... it's not massively busy. There's a few people about the place. I forgot to get the book out, typically, the one with all the NPCs in. So you're in there. There's a reverend over in one corner drinking quietly and reading from what looks to be the Bible. Over on the other side, there's... you'd picture them as probably nobles of some description, Austrian maybe, two men having a quiet but heated conversation. You're fairly certain that this is a big fat Italian man. But yeah, there's a are you still with us, Loka?
Yes. I am.
Oh, shut up, Terry! Has she gone away?
Well, she's not saying anything.
I don't know, but, well, that's not necessarily a good indicator, so you could be doing anything.
Let's stop saying her name.
Maybe she's gone to look up fat, big fat Italian men.
Yeah, she quite probably has.
Yeah.
He's obviously a big fat Italian man. He's... busy talking to kind of the guy he's talking to is like a weasel faced guy, quite pale, quite severe looking. Does seem to be of the German persuasion, but yeah, the Italian man is chatting with this severe faced German chap. The Italian man is singing the praises of Mussolini, and the German chap is mostly smiling and nodding and hoping that the Italian will eventually run out of steam and or go away. There's four or five flapper girls over in the corner. They're googling and talking to each other. It looks like maybe like an end of school outing or something, but they're on their own and unchaperoned.
Shocking.
I know.
Scandal.
So, do you have anything in particular you want to do while you're in the saloon, or are you just going to bathe in the ambience?
Chester just really needs a fucking drink, basically.
So are you going all out to get fucked?
Not necessarily fucked, he just doesn't want to be sober right now.
Okie dokie. Make whiskey. Me a constitution check, basically.
I halved that.
Okay, you get a nice buzz going, but you don't become, you know, paralytic.
Good.
What about you, Dr. Roberts? Same again, or...?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Constitute check for him?
He fails that.
Okay, Dr. Roberts, you're a bit tipsy. You're a bit drunk. A little bit tipsy. You'll be taking a penalty die for anything physical until you sober the fuck up. Errol?
See, I don't think Errol's likely to get drunk because I see him in this situation. He walks into the bar and basically orders something that sounds very pretentious, but he actually doesn't really like, but it looks good to be
a Manhattan.
I don't know. No, that's a bit too light and fluffy. You know, it's something that sort of feels
a
suitably
good scotch.
Yeah, suitably brooding. But he probably doesn't really like it very much, so he's taking very small sips and having quite a long break between them because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's
Lenore's helping him with it.
However, you are all partaking of the wondrous luxury of the Orient Express, so we all regain one sanity point. Clarissa.
I'm so sane on this trip.
You are in your room.
Mm-hmm.
You are not partaking of the wonderful salubrious nature of the Orient Express, because all you can hear is snoring.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of turn around and look out of the window, and there are a pair of burning red eyes outside. Could you please make me a power check?
I pass that.
You hear a voice sort of in your head. It's very hot in there. Why not open the window and let some air in? Let me inside. It's very warm in there. It sounds like a sensible suggestion. And then you sort of half rise and then sort of shake your head and go, what? Eyes? What? And realise that something weird's going on.
Well, weird is...
There's still two burning eyes outside the window. And the voice is saying, oh, it's so warm in there. Why
is
don't
it...
you open the window and let me in?
Is it a recognisable voice?
No, it's just appearing in your head.
No, actually, I'm okay, thank you. And I'll start kind of just
you
talking
blink,
to myself.
And the eyes have gone. Make me a listen check.
Listen. I don't pass that.
Okay. Back in the salon car, everybody's...
Sorry.
Back in the salon car, everyone's tying one on nicely. Occasionally you catch the flapper girls looking over and tittering to themselves. One of them comes over and speaks to Errol. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Martinique.
Hello.
That's a very nice bird you've got. What is it, a hawk?
Oh, Lenore. No, she's a raven.
A raven. And she scurries back to the others. I couldn't do it. It was ridiculous. Yeah, and they giggle amongst themselves for a bit.
Errol's going to go back to his room now.
Okay. You're heading back to the room. Clarissa, have you been doing anything in the last couple of minutes? Other than going, that didn't happen. No. It's all in my head.
Just talking to myself.
Okay.
Out loud. Quite loud.
Errol, you walk past Clarissa's room and she's having a conversation, presumably with Selena. And you're just coming up to your room and you're just unlocking the door and you hear a clonk and from the room where Dr. Roberts is. Except Dr. Roberts is in the saloon car. And then suddenly the whole of the corridor is filled with mist, which instantly dissipates.
Does that suggest there are ghosts?
Mist. You have no idea.
Right.
There was a big clonking sound from Dr. Roberts' room, though.
Oh, dear.
And like a shriek of pain or something?
Does the door open?
It's not open, no.
Can I open it?
It's locked.
It's locked. I'm going to go and knock on Clarissa and Selena's door.
There's a knock on your door, Clarissa.
I'll unlock the door and open it a crack.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry, Yes, there was a sound. Some mist.
Could you be a bit more specific?
Well, there was a large amount of mist, you see, on the train, and then there was no longer a large amount of mist on the train. And I'm not exactly sure what caused that phenomenon. I mean, it might be something associated with ghosts, but I'm not entirely certain of the circumstance. But
no, there was no, a sound. No, stop. So where was this?
Just there. Sort of points to outside the door, the much larger room.
Oh, there. Have you tried the door? I thought he was in the saloon.
Oh, he is. It is locked.
Could you go and fetch him? I think we need to, you know, double check what's going on in there.
Okay.
So you go back to the saloon car and grab him?
Very reluctantly, probably lurking outside the door for a little longer than necessary and trying to see, check if the girls are actually looking this way and trying to sneak in when they're not looking.
Okay. You notice that the girls are still in there and they're still chatting to each other.
Okay. Can I try and be stealthy and go over to, and alert these guys without them noticing?
So are you trying to be stealthy and walk into the saloon car, or are you trying to wave them from the door?
Can I get Lenore to send a message?
Do you have animal handling?
Probably not. No, I do not. I will attempt to get an authentic message and fail miserably.
Make me a roll. You've got 1%.
I mean, it's not even on here as a thing.
No, of course it isn't. Make me a 1% check.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, no, that was a 51.
So you carefully open the door. And you shoo Lenore in and say, go get them, go get them. And Lenore struts into the room, sits on the floor and goes, at you, because you've closed the door. And everybody turns and looks.
Is that the what's the name?
Oh, that's Raven.
You chaps, Raven.
Yeah, guess so. So, gonna go return it then. Finish the whiskey. Right. He's not going to try and pick the raven up, because that just seems like a recipe for getting pecked.
Yeah, yeah. He's had bad affairs with black cocks.
Haven't we all? Haven't we all?
No.
Okay, no, fair enough. So I just opened the door.
Okay. Errol's there.
Why is your... But I'm just going to keep walking down the corridor. Why is your bird in here and you're out here?
Could you fetch Dr. Robert?
He's with me.
And Lenore.
I assume Lenore was sort of moving.
Yeah, Lenore comes and flies and sits on your shoulder again. Excellent. Now that the door's open.
Excellent.
You hear girls giggling in the distance.
Dr. Roberts, if he would kindly unlock his room, Clarissa would be... rather grateful, I believe. There was some sort of thumping sound.
I'm missed, already
which may or may not be something to do with ghosts. I haven't quite established if that's...
Okay. Let's just say there's some noise in the room, let's go.
Dr. Roberts
is already way ahead.
Dr. Roberts, you reach your door. You unlock your door and step into the room. Inside, the Sedefgar Simulacrum box has been stood up on its end and opened. The jumble of parts are still all in there, but yeah, somebody's lifted it up off the floor and opened it.
Is everything in there that should be in there?
Yes, everything that you can see is in there. So there's all of the pieces of the statue, the little Bast statue, the few books from the dig site, the scroll of the head, and that little river stone with the funny symbol on.
I'm going to poke my head around
the door. Okay.
Everything all right?
Can you see anything missing?
I'll have a look. Do I see anything missing?
Nope.
Why is...
I didn't leave it on its end.
So someone came in, put it on its end, and left without taking
locking
anything.
The door behind them.
I go and check the window.
Well, there was a flash of mist.
Right. So...
looking more closely at the box, is anything in there that shouldn't be in there?
No. Nothing is in there that shouldn't be in there.
I'm just going to look around the room quickly.
I'm going to shut the bloody box again.
Yeah, no, okay. That's a good idea.
Make me a spine.
No.
Does my recall knowledge actually imply anything about flashes of mist that are significant?
Oh, it's probably ghosts. Or maybe you're on a fucking train.
That was almost certainly ghosts.
Yes, almost certainly ghosts.
Is that actually a thing that commonly happens on trains? Sorry, I'm genuinely confused.
Steam trains, yeah.
Oh, steam trains. Of course, okay. Right, yes. Why not that? Sorry, my bad.
You have been on a steam train for the last 3 years.
Great ghosts.
Yeah, but not in real life.
No, true.
Well, poltergeists are incapable of manipulating physical objects.
Okay, so a poltergeist came in the room, turned this thing on its end, opened it, and then left.
Yes.
Why?
You're all sort of standing in the corridor, aren't you?
I thought we were in the room.
Oh, you've moved into the room. Okay.
Yeah.
Door shut or door open?
Door shut.
Okay. You hear a knock at the door.
Open the door slightly.
You can see somebody standing outside. You think it's one of the conductors?
Can I help you?
Yes. I need to come in your room. There's been a disturbance.
What's going on, Chester?
This conductor says he needs to come in. There's been a disturbance?
Yes, there's been a disturbance. I need to come into this room.
Okay. I take a look, because he sounds weird.
Do you actually open the door to have a look, or are you pushing
peek around it?
Okay, so you're also peeking around it. So now there's two of you right up close against the door and peeking around it. As you peek around it, you see him raise a shotgun and pull the trigger. Could you both make me dodge checks?
Me.
Sodding hell, and also 34.
Who's rolling for you?
You are.
Yeah. Oh, okay, shit. I'm going to spend one luck so that I fifth that.
Okay, yeah, you take absolutely no damage whatsoever.
37.
So three luck,
sorry.
Dr. Roberts?
How much?
37.
Yeah, I'll spend three luck.
Seems fair.
Okay. Errol, you're far enough back in the room. What happens is this. There's a knock on the door. Chester goes over and sort of furtively stares around the side. Then Dr. Roberts goes and furtively stares around the side, and then both of them go, oh shit, and dive for the floor, and there's a boom, and a chunk of the door, about a foot and a half across, comes flying into the room, scattering you with bits of wood and so on. The door is pulled open, and there's one of the conductors standing there with a shotgun, and he just sort of dreamily steps in, and sort of looks around the floor, sighs to himself, and starts trying to point the gun down towards Dr. Roberts' face. What are you all doing?
I'm going to try and punch him.
Okay, fair enough. Make me a brawl roll. By the way, Clarissa, you just heard a shotgun go off.
I just rolled a 0-1.
Okay. Typically, I need to go back into these drawers because I remember I forgot to get my thingy out. Critical success on a non-impaling weapon. Yes. Don't tell me I've gone to all this bother and it's not even on here. Ba-ba-ba. Where are you? Where are you? Right. I think you do. What's it's 1d3 damage plus your damage bonus,
which is 0 in my case.
Okay, so it'll be 3 plus 1d3 damage then.
Okay,
that's what I'm going to go with anyway.
Makes sense. So that would be a total of 5 damage.
Okay, you smash him in the face. He staggers to the side, and drops the gun. And sort of looks around himself. What's going on? Why are you attacking me?
You shot at us with a shotgun.
What? No, I didn't.
Look at the door.
He turns around and looks at the door and goes, what have you been doing in here?
You shot at us with a shotgun.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I can't
we
possibly.
We have the witnesses.
But I don't understand. What's going on?
All three of us saw you do it.
Well, I can't have done. The shotguns are not kept in here. They're kept in the foregun.
Well, right, what's so what's that? That?
It's a shotgun. Why is this here?
You brought it here.
What's happened, the last thing us. That you remember?
I was in the foregun.
Ah, but you don't remember going from the foregun to here. Fascinating. Perhaps you were obsessed.
The foregun where the shotguns are.
Yes, I was in there taking one of the guards some tea.
Ghostly possession, I wonder.
What?
Look, that's not important right now. What's important right now is, well, for one thing, we should probably check on the gentleman you were bringing tea to.
Yes. I'll go and check on him now.
Yes, I'm going to come with you, and I'm going to keep hold of this. I pick up the shotgun.
Okay. Yes. I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what happened.
Obviously something very strange. You two stay here. I'm talking to Errol and Dr. Roberts.
So the guard goes with you. You walk down to the end of your thing. He actually takes you through the... he takes you through the saloon car again.
Mm.
So he must have come through the saloon car.
With a shotgun?
Yeah, but he's staff, so... Okay. And they do wear quite long coats, so he could have had it under his coat. Goes through that sleeping car, through that sleeping car, through that sleeping... Well, gets to the end of that sleeping car, and between the carriages, there's like a door and like a little leather thing. Covering the tunnel to the next door. And you're having to, basically, he gets into the little leather thing, closes the door behind him, opens the other one, because you can't open them both at the same time, and then you come through. So he goes in, you open the door, and the leather thing's not there. It's just open air. What?
No. This is Chester looking confused in character.
Doesn't work on radio.
Yeah, well made.
You open the door, and the leather thing has a huge hole in it on the right-hand side, and there's no sign of the guy. He's not through the door ahead.
Oh.
But there is still a car on the other
side. Oh, there's a hole.
There is a car on the other side, yes.
There's a great big hole that probably wasn't there before, was there?
You should step out here with me. Make a power check.
I do not pass that. And you, I don't have enough luck.
You step outside and close the door behind you. And you hear a voice in your head. You think you're so clever with your little defences. Well, let me explain what's going to happen. You're going to go back to your friends and say, "Oh, I think it must have all been a mistake. The man was obviously confused." Then you are going to go into the crate that contains my skin. You are going to take that small green stone out of it, and you are going to throw the stone out of the window. You do not have any choice in this. Be about your business.
You don't remember having a conversation with anybody, but you think you now know what the problem was. You think that the green stone in the crate is actually some kind of spirit sensor or magnet for spirits, and that's like causing the problem.
Ah, of course.
And the conductor guy has explained what happened with the shotgun. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Accidental discharge. Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yes.
Am I still holding the shotgun?
You still got it. I mean, he suggested you might want to give it back. Or did he? Yeah, you can't remember. But yeah, you've still got the shotgun.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll head back to the cabin now.
Okay. Meanwhile, in the cabin, Clarissa, a moment ago you heard a shotgun go off, and then you heard two people walking down the corridor. Are you going to investigate, or are you going to stay nice and safe where you are? Because they haven't bothered to come and inform you what's happened.
No. I'll open the door when I hear someone passing, see who it is, but
you can see,
try not to
Chester and a conductor heading down the train.
Right.
Chester's carrying a shotgun.
Okay. I'm assuming he hasn't shot anyone that we know.
Who knows?
I shall kind of grab my handbag.
Uh-huh.
And
with the gun. Mm-hmm. Amongst other things.
Amongst other things. And peer out into the corridor.
Okay. You see Chester and the conductor guy heading to the salon car. Further up the corridor, it's a bit smoky, and you can see there's bits of wood on the floor outside of the doctor's room.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably also hear Errol and the doctor talking quietly from the room.
No, I'm serious. It's not like he's going to be possessed guaranteed just by that description.
I mean, what other explanation do you have, realistically?
I shall out of my room.
Okay.
Quietly lock the door.
Okay.
Tiptoe along to Dr. Roberts' room.
Okay.
And probably make a stealth roll.
Okay, make me a stealth check. You guys can make me a spot hidden check.
I don't pass.
Okay, so somebody comes out of Selena's room and wanders up to the hole in your door. There's a massive hole, maybe about 8 to 10 inches across in the door to their room, through which you can see them sort of with the crate having a conversation.
I'll bend down.
Clarissa appears at your door hole.
Is everything all right in here?
Oh, good grief. Sorry, you startled me. Not really. Oh. I mean, we basically got shot at by one of the conductors who might have been, well, Errol says he was probably possessed, but it might have been hypnotized.
Right.
Didn't seem to be all with it and wanted to get into the room and then tried to shoot us.
We're talking about the conductor here, right?
Yes.
Very potentially possessed, but yes.
Chester took the base. Well, no, Chester very nearly laid him out with a punch. And after that, he seemed to sort of come to, which is why I think it was hypnotism.
Oh no, it could be quite common in possessed. I mean, a big enough hits, and it could quite easily jolt the possessing spirit out of the torso.
Right. Well.
Certainly.
Where's Chester gone now?
He followed the conductor. He had the shotgun by that point. Back to the fourgon to see what had happened to the other guard that he mentioned. Because it sounded like the last thing that he remembered was taking tea to the guard.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that, there hadn't been another slicey-dicey hand removal incident.
Right.
I love how blasé you've all gotten about mutilation now.
After the butchers, can you really blame us?
That's true, that's true.
I did see something disturbing at the window, but...
Oh, good grief, what?
Well, they were just, like... I'm not saying this particularly loudly, by the way.
No. You're still out in the corridor, incidentally, though.
Yeah, but I'm kind of leaning in through the door in a very unelegant fashion.
Yes.
Yeah, there were just a pair of red eyes, kind of.
Okay, would you like to come into the room and talk about this?
Would you like to come into the room where the door is no longer a door, but more like a vaguely failing window?
I shall go in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How big is this room? How many people can you get in it?
Right, with three people and the crate in it, it is packed to the gills.
Okay.
And a raven.
And a raven, yes. But I assume Lenore is stood on your shoulder and not making much of a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come
You're
in
on your way back now,
with the door behind me.
I'll give you the nod when you reach it. Okay, so you shut the door behind you.
Not that it's going to make much difference, but anyway. Yeah, there was just a pair of glowing red eyes I could see out the window wanting me to open the window because it was warm in here when, you know, it's February, so it's not particularly warm.
The glowing red eyes sound at all familiar from previous readings.
Make me an occult check, but you'll have to get really good success to get anything that's not just gibberish.
Yeah, I halved it, but...
Vampires, werewolves, they're always described as having glowing red eyes.
Okay.
What, you mean like the sorcerer?
Well, the sorcerer also did have glowing red eyes and was after something on a train.
It could potentially be something to do with vampires.
Oh good, you're all here. Excellent.
Vampires are the dead.
Chester's come back.
Hello.
He's still got the shotgun.
Yes, so don't worry, all sold. Accidental shotgun discharge happens all the time.
No, sorry.
So why do you still have the shotgun?
Oh, well, it's fine. It's fine, don't worry. Look, I figured out what the problem is. It's that stone.
You can't actually get into the room at the moment.
It's, you see the stone in the crate? It's some kind of thing that attracts spirits. I totally figured it out. If we get rid of that, all fine.
Right.
What is this stone made from?
It's like a green river stone of some description, and it's got a little, like a branched shape with leaves on it, with little flames in the leaves.
So why have we not had a problem with it before?
And isn't this the one which has got the protective markings on it?
Yes.
That's certainly what Antiques Chappie in the bazaar at... I want to sell Bale Grade said to you that it was a protective amulet.
Having not had the opportunity to study the stone, perhaps if it's attracting... I'm not sure what sort of spirits. From that description, I suggested nature spirits of some variety.
No, it's definitely the stone that's the problem. Once we get rid of it, no more problems. Now, if you could just let me in and I can take care of it.
What's the equivalent of... insight in this system?
Probably psychology.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Not psychoanalysis, psychology.
I'll give it a go to see if I can...
Everybody can.
Fuck no, you got 92 on your roll.
I fifth my roll.
Okay. Chester is not acting like Chester. Well, he sort of is acting like Chester, but... he's like, given what you've all been through in the last few days, Chester's strangely chirpy and very evasive about why he still has a shotgun and seemingly very certain that he needs to get rid of stuff. Excuse me. Chester is being very certain that it's that rock when previously he's known nothing about that rock.
You've come to this conclusion rather quickly while being down in the foreground.
Okay, you shoot Clarissa.
Boom.
He raises the gun, puts it in your chest and pulls the trigger. The hammers click down on two empty chambers.
Fuck, knew I should have checked that.
What are you all doing? He's just tried to kill Clarissa.
I'd like to hit him on the head with my bag.
Don't laugh, okay, that bag's full of shit.
Yep.
I know, but it's such a wonderfully old lady response.
Yep.
She's not even an old lady.
Okay, no, it would
make me a brawl check.
It would be even better with Selena, I grant you.
Selena would whack you with her stick.
I rolled a 0.6.
Whoa.
I try and dodge that. I'm not gonna, but can I try?
I guess so. Really? I suppose you should, but...
Nah, fuck it. I mean, I normal dodge it, but that's not going to be a 0.6.
Did you fifth your brawling? Or did you just...
I only have the base of 25. So
okay, you halved it.
Yeah, so you
halved
it. That's fine. So it will be 1d6. Plus, or in your case, I believe it... Oh, no, you're crippled, the Hulk. Plus your damage bonus.
Jesus, I'm going to die.
No, I don't have a damage bonus.
Okay, well, that's probably for the best.
Yes.
A 5.
Smack!
So I take 5 points of damage?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
It's only bruising damage, so it goes away after a short while. You are suddenly jarred loose from your hypnotic suggestion. You remember the guy stepping into the thing and then disappearing sideways, and then you stepped into the thing for some reason, even though you'd seen him being pulled sideways, which is weird. You then stepped into the little corridor, and that's the last thing you remember.
What the? What? Why am I? How did I get back here?
Also, it's just dropped the shotgun again.
You just tried to shoot me.
What? Oh god. Oh god. Oh god. Whatever happened to him must have happened to me. Oh god.
What's the last thing you remember?
We were going down towards the Forgon, and then he was in the tunnel, and then he was pulled sideways or something, and then. I don't know why, but I went in through the door. That's all I remember.
Okay. So something in the Forgon is trying to get at the simulacrum.
Perhaps there's a thud outside in the corridor.
I stick my head out through the hole in the door.
The conductor's head has just landed on the floor.
Oh, God.
Make me a sanity check.
In fairness, I don't think Chester ever...
Oh, I fucking tried that.
Okay, you lose a mighty 2 sanity points. His head has just been pulled off, basically.
Oh, God.
And it's just lying in the middle of the corridor.
That's the conductor's head.
Where'd it come from?
Should we perhaps be raising the alarm on this one?
And say what?
I don't know. Somebody chucked a bleeding head down the corridor. It, you know, it's kind of a problem.
Okay. Can we establish that no one is going anywhere on their own right now? Because obviously that's a very bad idea. Also, no one's carrying any guns that are loaded.
Clarissa still has her bag and makes no move to reach inside it.
Okay. What happened exactly? Did I just come back and try and shoot you?
You wanted to throw the small stone out the window?
The small... with the thingy on it?
With the, like, levy things.
Okay, so clearly that thing is very important and we should make sure it's safe. Right. Good. Okay. Right.
Do we want to move the crate to a different room? If they think that it's going to be in this room.
Plus there's a big fucking hole in the door.
And there's also...
And a severed head outside.
And a severed head.
Should we put the severed head inside the room?
No.
No.
We are not touching it.
Is there any... Do you think there's an issue with all the parts being together?
I don't know. I don't remember. Well,
By the way, it's unpleasantly cramped in this room at the moment because you are all in this room with the giant trunk.
Can we all just move the trunk? Because we can't fit in this room.
Okay, so you're going to move it into the two double berths?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to.
Okay, so you're the closest to the door, so you're probably the first out.
Okay.
Something drops on Chester from above the moment he leaves. It's a withered creature, lips pulled back, revealing... dirty, sharp fangs, deep, sunken, wide eyes, and a crinkly covering of skin over its bald head and long hair. It's dressed in stinking rags, and you recognize it as a thing you spoke to at an asylum. Although it was ghostly at the time. Clarissa. It drops down from above onto you and will attempt to bite you.
Fucking Christ!
Make me a dodge or fight back.
I will try and fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I pass.
By how much? Because he...
If I spend one luck, I half it.
It is not worth it.
Okay.
You'd need to fifth it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing drops on him from above, drags his neck to one side, and sinks its fangs into his neck. You instantly go limp, and your strength is reduced by 17 points.
Fuck!
permanently?
You don't know.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just going to wipe my stats.
All of you need to make me a sanity check.
Fair. I just rolled 100.
Okay, so you lose 8 points and have to make me an intelligence check.
You want to fail that.
Yeah, you do.
Dr. Roberts passes comfortably.
I halved it.
Oh, Jesus, Errol.
Give me a number between 1 and 8, Errol.
7.
You become hysterical. And you just fall about laughing maniacally for all 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Anybody else fail?
Oh, dear.
But you didn't get 100, right?
Do I actually roll that as well?
Yeah, you would. Okay. You lose 1.
Jesus, I got 98.
So you didn't botch then. You lose 5, though.
Yeah.
Make me an intelligence check.
Oh, God.
Actually, it doesn't matter for you because you're... Make me the intelligence check anyway.
I passed that.
Okay, so... If you aren't being held, give me a number between 1 and 8.
1.
Okay, so you would like to run away, but you can't.
Yeah, because I'm...
Because you're being held.
Yeah.
This thing has dropped down, grabbed Chester, latches onto his neck with 2 tiny pinprick holes. The wound itself is not terrible, but then you suddenly feel faint and woozy as this suction starts on your neck, and then the creature pulls its mouth away from your neck and just holds him completely still. I have tried to be kind, but now I would like my skin. Give it to me or your friend here. He turns to stare at Chester. Will become my meal. He runs 1 scaly, scabrous tongue along Chester's cheek. What do you do?
Is my shotgun within reach?
Almost certainly, yes.
I shoot the bloody thing.
That seems fair. So... Dr. Roberts just dives through the bed, whips his shotgun up, and unloads at point blank. Now, you're drunk, but it's point blank range, so I'll give you a bonus die cancelling out the penalty die. Who's rolling your shotgun attack?
It seems only fair to let Bloodied do his own saving.
Don't botch.
Working on it. Okay, your shotgun skill is 50.
Pretty good.
Passed.
Okay. You unload straight into its chest. At this range, it's 4d6 damage.
Okay. Maybe it's more d6s.
And there's why I went for the shotgun.
Yeah.
But point blank range, these things are hideous.
Yeah, they are.
So, always have the D6s ready for a shotgun.
Yeah, because they're your favourite thing.
Okay, that's not too bad. Bad. 14 points of damage.
You blast him with the shotgun. A huge chunk of his chest is blown away, and he makes a sort of sound. Errol, are you doing anything?
Laughing?
Hysterical.
Oh, yes, laughing hysterically. Chester, what about you? You are not now... you are not now... held. You are held, but you're not immobile.
Okay. There's not much I can do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and punch him in the wound. Basically, I'm trying to shove my fist into this new interesting cavity his chest has.
Okay, make me a fighting brawl check. He will attempt to fight back, though.
Well, that's fair.
Oh, he doesn't do very well.
I pass.
So does he, but fighting back, you do damage to him.
So, just 1d3? Mm-hmm. That would be three.
Okay. So, it all happens kind of in quick succession. He's talking, he threatens Chester, Dr. Roberts blows a massive hole in him, and then you punch into the hole and up into his organs, and he disappears into mist. You collapse to the ground, no longer held upright. Clarissa, the mist flows away down the train, and in the salon car you hear a from one of the girls as it flows through that
car
area. Car. What are you all doing?
Nothing.
Well, yes. You laugh for a few more seconds and then stop. You feel
I reload. Weak.
Okay. You feel weak, Chester. Properly weak.
Look at my...
Like fainting weak.
I look at my fist that went into that thing. Is there anything on it?
No. Not a thing.
Okay, so that explains the mist then.
Yes.
Yes, that's some sort Errol. Of vampire ghost.
Something Errol. Occurs to you. There's supposed to be a conductor in every sleeping car. There's no conductor in this car. And that conductor who came and tried to shoot you is not the conductor for this car.
Okay, Errol, would you do me a favour and go and find the conductor for this car, please?
Someone go with him. Whereas I've been doing the fucking voice.
Wow. Chester is slowly getting more and more fucked.
I'm not fucking doing the Batman voice.
No, that's fine.
Fuck it. Assume he has the Batman voice.
Yeah.
Errol will squeeze his way out of the tightly packed carriage and go in search of a conductor.
Normally, he's just at the end of the you see the little room at the end there?
Yeah.
There's like a little seat there for him to sit in.
Dr. Roberts will be going along with Errol because Chester and Clarissa seem to be best suited for sticking around.
Okay.
Well, he just tried to shoot me.
While I was possessed.
Yes, but he doesn't have a gun anymore.
Also, I'm having trouble standing, so I think you're fine if I try anything.
He looks pale, like really pale.
We are only going to the end of the sleeping car to find out what has happened to the conductor, and then we will come back.
Yep, it's only about 4 meters, and he is not there on his seat.
Any signs of a struggle? I suppose that's a spot here.
No, there isn't. There isn't any signs of a struggle.
Mm.
It just looks like he got up and walked off.
At the other end of the car, is there... The neighbouring car's conductor?
The neighbouring car is the saloon car.
Ah.
At the other end. If you go through another sleeping car, at the far end of that sleeping car, just before the dining car, there should be another conductor. If you want to go all that way.
Are there any toilets around here, and do they appear to be in use?
There's a toilet right by you, because you're standing next to it.
Okay. Is the door openable?
Yeah.
There's no one in there?
No.
Alright.
It's a toilet.
The conductor could have gone to the toilet.
He could have, but he hasn't.
Okay.
After not hearing a shotgun blast 4 meters away.
Right.
Might be in the middle of something.
True impact.
I mean, it's difficult to hear sounds from one carriage to the other, but it's easy to hear sounds in a single carriage.
What about all the other people in this carriage?
It's only 7 o'clock. Well, it's only about 8 or 9 by now.
Okay.
Quite a few of them are in the saloon car. You know that for a fact. Some will probably be in the dining car.
Is the severed head still in the middle of the corridor?
Yeah, because no one of you have moved it.
Hmm.
Did you say it was desiccated?
No.
It's just there,
pulled off,
bleeding.
It's not bleeding a great deal, but it's not desiccated.
Right, let's get back to the room and get that crate moved.
Clarissa and Chester, what are you doing while they're doing the...
I should probably get rid of the head, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah?
I'm going to throw it out the window.
Okay, you pick it up and throw it out the window.
Sorry.
There's now just a blood stain on the floor.
Can't do anything about that.
I'm sure they've seen worse.
Well, yeah, they have. Normally, whenever you're on the fucking train.
I was going to say, if they haven't already, they're probably going to.
Yeah.
Well, yes. This does not seem like it's going to end very well.
That thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, by now, Errol and Dr. Roberts would be back. Go on, Clarice.
I have encountered it before.
What?
Go on.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite so...
homicidal?
Well, at the time, yes, because, you know, no one died. But it wasn't quite so... It didn't have a body.
Right. And now it does.
Well...
Is this the burning eyes you were talking about?
Yeah, it does, it has to take a form of mist.
Burning eyes.
You can all make me idea checks, apart from you, Errol.
Okay. Idea checks?
Oh, yeah. Intelligence.
Intelligence, sorry. I'm still used to 6th edition.
50.
Yeah. I passed.
I passed too.
No, Dr. Roberts does not pass.
Just passed?
Yeah.
I can spend one and half it.
Yeah, I
would. Okay. 12 luck.
You remember, and you can't, I can't remember who read the book.
Which book?
The book about Romans.
I think it was you.
Yeah, that was you.
I think you was it? Told everybody
I
about
think,
it.
I think, yeah.
But when he finally went nuts, Tilius Corvus was described as having burning red eyes.
Oh.
And you have definitely had dreams about Dr. Jesus when he had burning red eyes. And he definitely had burning red eyes when he helped you in the woods back in Vinkovci, or Vinkovici, depending on whether we're keeping our old pronunciation or not.
And it's the same person from the spirit from the asylum?
Yes.
Oh, wait. So, this is a centuries-old vampire who was apparently without a body for a bit, and now he has one back.
Well, I...
And he...
Did he actually look like he actually had a body, or was it just a...
No, he definitely had a body. But then he was standing there in front of you.
But then he disappeared into a cloud of mist.
And then when Chester punched him in the organs, he did sort of dissipate into mist and float away.
Right.
Okay. Can we get some garlic?
From the dining car, potentially.
And a crucifix. And some holy water or something.
Is any of this likely to be things we'd have on us anyway?
No.
Probably more pentacles, right?
Well, yeah, you've got loads of pentacles. You probably don't... I don't think any of you have been particularly religious, with the exception of Clarissa, whose religion is not normal. Mm. Whose religion, sorry, was...
Not particularly appropriate at this point.
Mm. I don't... Well, actually, no. I'm going to call for a party look check.
Oh,
which means you have to make this look.
Okay.
The reason why will become obvious once you've made it.
Fingers yes. Let's see if I can make that 12%.
Yep.
No, I don't.
None of you thought to pick up any of the garlic in the caves. So no, makes you sense. Do not have any garlic.
I was, in fairness, mostly focusing on escaping the bloody hole that it was in.
We all exactly.
Yeah, we that seems fair.
Right. Well, I have an idea here that I've had out of character.
Potentially, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. The symbol that's on the green stone. What if we drew that on the door or something? He doesn't like it. He tried to make me get rid of it, so. That symbol obviously has some power against him.
It's worth a try, I suppose.
Have you moved the crate, by the way, into the other room now?
You just roll for that, or
no. You can just do it.
Well, yeah, we will.
Are we putting it in the bathroom then?
Okay, so you all move into the rooms and put it in the bathroom.
Yeah. So I can't quite see. Is there a connecting door we can open so we don't all have to stand?
Basically, you can if you do it the wrong way, as it were, you can open both of those connecting doors. So you've got a clear run through to where Selena's completely asleep currently.
Yeah, otherwise we're all standing like we're in a crowded bus.
Exactly.
Which is not comfortable.
This way you've got a little bit more room, but if anybody wants a shower, they can't have one because there's a giant trunk in the way.
Yeah.
And it's only for a night, so.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Excuse me, Mr. Roberts. Oh, you're not there. There's a knock on the door. Excuse me. I've got a message for you all.
Oh, God.
Don't worry, I don't have a shotgun. I was told to say that. I'm not sure why.
By who?
Could you open the door, please, so I can give you my message?
Which door is he knocking on?
He's knocking on the door to the men's room.
Right.
Because it's the next one along from where Dr. Roberts was. Sorry, can you open the door so I can give you my message?
Is it possible to get to the other door?
Yes.
And open it a crack and see if he's got a gun on him?
Yeah, you can do that. You open it a crack. It's actually the conductor from this carriage. He's just sort of standing there. Make me a spot hidden, though.
That's a 15.
He has a knife in his right hand.
Shut the door again.
Okay.
Can I try and do that quite quietly?
Yeah.
He does have a knife on him.
Could you open the door so I can give you my message, please?
Can you push it under the door?
By any chance?
I can't push it under the door. I'm supposed to give it to you verbally.
Well, you can talk to us through the door.
He said you'd say that, and he also said that this would have less effect. But, okay. You're to give him his skin. Otherwise, this is going to happen every hour on the hour until you give him the skin. Thud.
Head out, peek out around the door.
He's lying on the floor with a knife sticking out of his heart.
Right.
So he's taken the train hostage.
Question, is the train still moving?
Yep. You're shooting out the window, are you?
No, I'm doing the mental calculation of how many people will die before we get to Constantinople.
Well, technically speaking, it's 8.
If he doesn't stop the train.
Assuming he does keep up with his 1 an hour.
And he doesn't stop the train. Because he could easily get the driver to stop the train.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger problem is, if he is a vampire, eventually the sun's going to come off. Unless he stops the train in a tunnel.
Yeah.
Are there any tunnels between here and there?
It's quite mountainy.
So, yeah.
Probably, yes.
Fuck.
Right. Wow.
Is there any kind of... not necessarily chapel on the train, but any kind of area that's a bit...
not really, no.
No?
There's no church or non-denominational worship room. There was a reverend in the salon.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
But that's pretty much it.
Do you all know about the reverend in the salon?
All of the men do. Just we're in the final drinking.
I will look over at Chester and go, maybe the priest in the salon can give us some, some religious paraphernalia or something?
Possibly. However, I would point out that if we go out and tell him, hey, there's a vampire, he's likely just going to think we're insane.
Also, there's a dead body directly outside of your room and a knife in its chest. Slowly leaking blood across the floor.
Oh dear. Gonna have to throw it out the window.
What?
Well, I'm sorry, what are we supposed to do with this?
make the point that someone stabbed themselves outside our bloody
door. Okay, this is a fair point, but then more like I think we stabbed him outside our door.
I mean, who would stab themselves in the heart? I mean, really? And if you were going to do that, there'd be hesitation marks, and there definitely weren't any there.
Damn it. They're going to notice people going missing, and they're going to notice a series of bloodstains on our bloody coach. And our
Dancing devils all over again. Through no fault of your own, you're going to get a reputation for being mass murderous.
It's just
that.
Oh, look, there's someone dead. Let's throw
him out the window.
What else are we supposed to do?
Use the door? It involves less manhandling.
What?
There must be a door we can throw them out of that's far easier.
Oh, it's fine to throw them out, just not out the window.
What do you suggest we do with it? The poor man's dead. It's not like it's going to get any worse for him.
Is there a suitable window?
You can put him out the window in yours, because it's one of those big ones that comes down halfway.
Okay, yeah, so we put him out the window.
Okay, you go over to the window, and you pull it down, and...
Okay. Fuck. I just realised that was a bad idea.
Why?
Who was in the process of throwing him out the window?
It was Chester.
Oh, Chester's having a bad day.
Yeah, because guess who was at your window earlier?
I've just got to check some things.
Yeah.
Specifically how long it takes to go... Oh, dear. Okay, add your strength to your size.
Okay. My current strength, right?
Yes, your current strength.
Okay, that becomes a total of 101.
Okay, and then you roll against that.
I roll against 101.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I get under 101. I get 45.
So you half it.
Yes. Did he fifth it, is the question.
No, he did not.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
These two scave. You open the window and look out to check that it's prime body dump area. And these two scabrous arms come down from above and grab your arms and start dragging them out. You jam your knees against the underside of the window and just manage to pull yourself down and slam the window shut. You lie there, panting on the floor. Aware that very, very nearly you went out the window instead of the corpse. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we're going to end for this evening. Unfortunately, we didn't get through the whole of the end of Repossession, which I was hoping we were going to do, but you'll just have to wait for next week, I'm afraid. So, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed what you were listening to. And enjoyed here is definitely a relative term. If you'd like to talk to us, you can talk to us at thecultteamdice.net, or you can talk to us on the Twitters, at cultteamdice. You can talk to me, at Mordringen. You can talk to her, at tgremlin. You can talk to him, at bloodyfox. You could talk to illporcupino, at ill_porcupino. I've just let her know that it's okay, the internet is evil. What else? Yes, if you want to leave us iTunes reviews or Podchaser reviews, that would be most appreciated. The more of those we get, the more people will know about us, and the more people will listen to us. And then you won't be alone. Yay. You won't be alone. But thank you very much for listening to us, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.